Morning, everybody. Got exciting here today. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Today, God willing, we're going to finish up Masechta Temura, and tomorrow, Krisis, bring in your Masechta Krisis. We end off today the Masechta with a three-way machlokas, and then on top of that, another machlokas within the three-way machlokas. There's a requirement that when you redeem an animal, is subject to subject to redemption, which means that it's a carbon, and then it got a balmum, and then it got a blemish on it. So there's this requirement of what's called hamada v'haracha, which is that the animal has to stand up and on its own, and that means basically that the animal has to be alive. If the animal is not alive, so it no longer can be redeemed. So that's a little bit strange. So now you have a carbon that can't be redeemed. What happens to it? And the answer is bury it. You can't redeem it. So there's this requirement of hamada v'haracha, and essentially the question is, when is there a requirement of hamada v'haracha? So that is subject to a machlokas, and the machlokas goes three ways. There's the opinion of the chacham, and there's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and then there's Tana de Bei Levi. Let's start off with Tana de Bei Levi. He's the easiest, and his response is always, there's always a requirement of Hamada V'Haracha. And it does not matter if we're talking about Kadshei Mizbech, or if we're talking about Kadshei Bedek HaBayis. It does not matter if the animal was a Baal Mum prior to you being Makdish it. Under every circumstance, according to Tana de Bei Levi, you are required, there is this requirement of Hamada V'Haracha. Okay, that's the easiest place to start. As we'll see later on, we'll see later on, there's a Mishnah which is difficult, and the Gemara is just going to simply assign it to Tana de Bei Levi. Okay, that's number one. Number two, then, is the opinion of...
This is for a legitimate exchange.
Huh?
This is for a legitimate exchange, not for Temura.
No, this is for all for legitimate deconsecration, right, not Temura. Okay, and then we move on to Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon is... that kachet mizbech requires hamad v'haracha. Anything that's subject to the base of mikdash that was designated to be brought onto the mizbech, obviously that would be animals that are fit for the mizbech. So if they develop a blemish, they're subject to hamad v'haracha, which means that kachet bedek habayis does not require hamad v'haracha. So if I consecrate an animal just for bedek habayis, let's give a simple example: the animal's not fit to be brought up onto the mizbech. So when I was makdish it, it immediately went to kedushas bedek habayis, and then it develops a blemish. So Rabbi Shimon says that there's no requirement of Hamada V'Haracha. That means to say that even if the animal dies, you can redeem the animal. Okay, that is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And then finally we get to the opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim also have this requirement of Hamada V'Haracha, but they go the other way. Now, when they say go the other way, so what exactly is the opinion of the Chachamim? So that itself is a subject to a machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of what is the exact position of the Chachamim. Certainly by Kachim Bedek HaBayis, the Chachamim require Hamada V'Haracha. That's a gimme. What about Kachim Mizbech as well? So, Machlokas. Rav Yochanan says that it applies to Kachim Mizbech as well as it applies to Kachim Bedek HaBayis. And Reish Lakish says, no, it only applies to Kachim Bedek HaBayis, not to Kachim HaMizbech. Okay, is that all clear? That's a lot. It's a lot of information to go into a Gemara with. Okay, but that's it. That's the information that we need. Okay, the Gemara now has basically taken us through yesterday the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Beis, the opinion of Rav Yochanan according to the Chachamim, or other way around, Chachamim according to Rav Yochanan, and now on the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, where we left off yesterday, we're going to go through the Chachamim according to Reish Lakish. Then our next step along the way is that we're going to go to Rabbi Shimon. We're going to analyze the position of Rabbi Shimon, and we'll try to make sense of it all. We'll try to. Okay, we're on the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and we Amar of Gidol Merav. We did that. I'm Rav Yehuda Merav. I'm sorry. We're going right. We did. You're correct. Okay. And I have it marked off also. I'm Rav Yehuda Merav. Okay. Now we're going through Rabbi Shimon. Sorry. Shitas Rabbi Shimon. My time at the Amar Kachim Mizbeach. I'm sorry. My time at the Rabbi Shimon. Okay. So what's behind Rabbi Shimon? Amar Kachim Mizbeach. Ibachlama Devaracha. Kachim Bedek Abayis. Lo Hayu. So why is it that by Kachim Mizbeach it is in the category of Hamada V'Haracha, meaning, again, that if the animal is blemished, the animal it can only be redeemed if it's alive. If the animal died for whatever reason, the animal cannot be redeemed. But that's only for Kachim Mizbech. Then that's not true for Kachim Bet HaKabayis. So how does that drasha work according to Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara explains like this. The Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Ve'arich HaKohen Osa Bein Tov Uvein Ra. And the Torah, and the Kohen will be Marich it, meaning it, this animal, and whether it's good or whether it's bad. Now, in the world of Kadoshim, in the world of Hekdesh, where do we make distinctions? Where do we distinguish between good versus bad? So, the answer is only Kachem Mizbech. That's the only time that we make this segregation between the good animal and the bad animal. Meaning, by Kachem Bet HaKabayis, do we care? No. Because by Kachem Bet HaKabayis, we don't. All we're interested is in the value being Kadosh. So it's a blemished animal. Okay, they won't. It's not going to make a difference to them. So ve'amakra osa lamute bet kabayis. And then the Torah says osa, meaning this animal, only this categoric animal is subject to the requirement of amad varacha. That means to say that another animal is not. What other type of animal is not bet kabayis? Ihachi bein tov lira mibayile. So the Gemara says, look, it's a good drasha. But the wording of the pasuk could have been worded a little bit differently, and for Rabbi Shimon, a little bit better. Why? Because the Torah could have said, instead of bein tov uvein ra, it's bein tov lira. Meaning, if we're talking about Kachem Mizbech, which according to Rabbi Shimon we are, we want to know the bein tov lira. Meaning, we'll only take good animals, but we won't take bad animals. Meaning, the bein tov uvein ra sounds like, we'll take either one. So the pasuk could have been worded a little bit differently, and the Gemara concludes over here, Kasha. Yeah, you're right. Pasuk could have been worded a little bit differently. Meisvei. Okay, and now the Gemara is going to challenge, and we introduce ourselves to a brisa. Meisu tamimim. Animal dies non-blemished. Yikbaru. Okay, so animal was died without a blemish. We're talking about, obviously, a carbon right now. So yikbaru, so you bury the animal. Ubalei momim, yipadu. Now, if it's a balmom, it's a blemished animal, so you can redeem it. But that's only true when it comes to Kachem Mizbech. Whether it's Tamim, whether it's Bamum, so then you can bury it. Now, who's talking right now? Meaning, I'll tell you what, it's not Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon's coming up right in just a moment. So who's the author of this Tanakhama? Ostensibly, it is the Chachamim. So you already feel what's wrong. Meaning, the Braisa says that if it's a Balmum, if it's a blemished animal, Yi Padu, you should redeem it. But when is that true? That's only by Kachem Mizbeach. Right. Yeah. How can you redeem it? Meaning it's dead. The animal's dead. According to the Chachamim, isn't there a Hamad of Arach requirement? Okay. Stay tuned. Certainly, according to Rav Yochanan, there's a Hamad of Arach requirement. Okay, so stay tuned. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kachem Mizbech, Kachem Bet HaKabayis, Tamim Yikbaru, Balei Mumim Yipadu. And according to Rabbi Shimon, whether it's Kachem Mizbech or whether it's Kachem Bet HaKabayis, so if it's a non-blemished animal, so you have to bury the animal, but if it's a Balmum, so you redeem the animal. Okay, Tiyufta de Rav Yochanan Meresha. So the Gemara points out that according to Rav Yochanan, that first part of the Braisa is going to be difficult, because according to Rav Yochanan, the Chachamim have a Hamad V'Arach requirement, always. Whether it's Bet HaKabayis or whether it's Mizbeach. So Amalach Rav Yochanan, Hach B'Maiskin, B'Balmum Ikaro. So Rav Yochanan will tell you, well, the Braisa is talking about, not where the animal was a carbon for the Mizbeach, and then it got a blemish, but rather it got a blemish first. Okay? And as we mentioned yesterday, we talked about this in yesterday's daf, in the beginning of the whole discussion, if it's Balmum Ikaro, even according to the Chachamim, even according to Rav Yochanan, there's no Hamad of Arach requirement. Okay. Hachanam in Mistar, but Ditem Shekhanam Ekdisham as Mumam, Liflog Rabbi Shimon Allah. So the Gemara says, and that makes sense. Because if it was first Hekdesh, and then it developed a blemish, so then Rabbi Shimon should be arguing on that point in of itself. Allah Shema Minam, Balma Mikaro. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's a Balma Mikaro. So Elolei Matiyavi Tiyufta Dereish Lakish. So the Gemara says, okay, now, if all that's true, so good. Meaning good for Rav Yochanan. So, you know, what's one solution for one person becomes another person's problem. So, Reish Lakish now is going to have a bit of a problem because Reish Lakish says that even according to the Chachamim, the only time that there's a Hamad of Aracha requirement is only for Bet HaKabayis, not for Mizbeach. So, now it seems to be problematic for Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish Mukumla, Bishakadam So the Gemara says, okay, so what Reish Lakish will tell you is I fundamentally disagree. I think the Bryce is talking about where it was first Kaddish and then developed a blemish. So the Gemara says, if that's true, why isn't Rabbi Shimon arguing on that very point in of itself? So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish mepech apech. So the Gemara says, first of all, before you go any further with the discussion, let's get the following straight. Reish Lakish didn't like that Bryce. Meaning, it wasn't a personal issue. Reish Lakish didn't follow that brisa. If you look at the bottom Tosfos says, "V'hachdel el meshabeshta." Meaning, Reish Lakish felt that the previous brisa was a corrupt brisa. So, when Reish Lakish goes through this sequence, this give and take, so the first thing he does is he starts off with a different brisa, and the Gemara introduces us to the brisa. "V'hachi mosiv mi mechilta achriti." He quotes a different brisa. Usually, it's funny, you don't see the word mechilta come up in the Gemara itself. It's an unusual word used by the Gemara. So, mesu. So here we go now. This is now Reish Lakish's brisa. If the animal dies, bein tamimim, bein balei momim, whether it's a blemish animal, whether it's not a blemish animal, yikbaru, the animal needs to be buried. Bamed varmorim v'kachi bedek abayis. That's only vis-a-vis kachi bedek abayis. Aval. Ava bekadashim yipadu, but if it's a carbon, so then it could be redeemed. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, tamimim yikbru vale mom yipadu. So they tamimim are going to be buried, and the Baal Mum is going to be redeemed. Good. Now we have at least according to Reish Lakish, a more accurate version of the Braisa. And now let's discuss. Meaning, now that we got the Braisa right, or at least according to Reish Lakish. So now, Tiyufta de Rav Yochanan Misefa. So the Gemara says, now that's difficult for Rav Yochanan. I'm Lecha Rav Yochanan, Achabai Maiskin, Babamo Mikaro. So again, Rav Yochanan will say, good. Again, let's go back to my answer. Rav Yochanan says, I'm sticking with my story. The story is that where this Bryce is talking about, where it was a Babamo Mikaro, which means that it was never subject to really being a carbon. And again, we go back to that same point, because otherwise, why isn't Rabbi Shimon arguing on that very point? Now the Gemara says this should be challenging for Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish now says, I'm sticking to my story, which is that first it was a hektish and then it was a blemish. So the Gemara says now, curious, why isn't Rabbi Shimon arguing? I'm Lecha Reish Lakish, Hachanami Depalag Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Yes. According to my Braisa now, Rabbi Shimon does in fact argue. Okay. Good. All right, so again, we've gone through Braisa version number one, Braisa version number two, all said and done. Each position, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is able to fit their position within the respective Braisa. Amalei Rav Yirmiyahu le Rabbi Zera le Reish Lakish Amalei Rabbanan Kachim Mizbech Lo Hayu Bechlo Hamadav Aracha Vekani Kachim Mizbech Balei Momim Yipadu Umekminam La B'Shekanim Hekdeshim Es Momam. Okay, now the Gemara over here just says, let's put a couple things together. Meaning, let's take the Chachamim's position, let's take it according to Reish Lakish, which now means that if I have a carbon and the carbon developed a blemish, so you can redeem it. Even if the animal died, you don't need to bury the animal, you can redeem the animal. Okay, good. Just put all that together, and then you walk away with a very strange conclusion. Good, now you redeem it. Now what? Okay, so in other words, it was an animal that was a carbon, it developed a blemish, the animal died, so it still has its kedusha. I can redeem it now, and then what? Well, I can't eat it, the animal's dead. So the only thing that's going to happen now is it's going to be given to an animal. Right, and this takes us to the controversial topic, which the Gemara always wants to avoid, which is Shmamina Podim Masekadosh Malachim Laklavim. So it comes out now that you can redeem an animal in order to feed it to a dog, and as always, we want to avoid that. We want to avoid that conclusion, but that seems to be the conclusion to which the Gemara says Hachem Amayiskin and Kishah Bishavav V'Shachtan. No, the Gemara says no. The case over here is the person shechted the. He got a blemish on the person shechted the animal.
By mistake.
Huh? By mistake. Or, yeah. Usually, sha'avar means he did it.
Avera.
He did an avera. Mm. Okay. In other words, he shouldn't have done it, but he did it. And kedetanya, and the Gemara says, and look, it's not.
Did he have the intention that he was going to make it
No, the animal was already kadosh. It was his intention was he's going to shecht it.
As soon as he got a mum.
Right, so he said...
He can't make it a korban, right?
Correct. As soon as he got a mum, he can't make it a korban, but it still has its kedusha. So it needs to be redeemed. The redemption should have taken place before the animal died, but he first shechted it. Okay, but in other words, okay, but now the animal's dead with a proper shechita, and the only thing left now is its kedusha, and according to Reish Lakish, according to the Chachamim, you could be poded. In fact, we learned this in the Brisa. Kol hakadosh shenafal be'amom v'shachtam, Rameir Omer yikmeru v'chachamim armim yipodu. Okay, and the Chachamim say you could be poded. Okay, Amalei. Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Rabbi Zera, the Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Kachay, Berek Abayislo, Havu Becham Adavaracha. So Amay Tamimim Yikbaru. So here's a simple question: according to Rabbi Shimon, right, who says that Kachay, it's only Kachay Mizbech that have this requirement of Hamad Avaracha, and by Kachay Berek Abayis, there's no requirement of Hamad Avaracha. So you have an animal without a blemish, and it dies. So previously, on the previous brace, Rabbi Shimon says, bury it. But why? So Mishum Dachazi Lakrava. So the Gemara says, well, because the animal was fit to be offered. Kedetanya, Hamad Fis Tmim Labeta Kabais, Kashay Niftin, and Niftin Ela Mizbech, Shekola Raila Mizbech, Eni Yotze Midei Mizbech La'ola. Because since it's a Tamim, so therefore the Mizbech kind of has its teeth in it, meaning it has its rights to it. And so therefore you simply can't redeem it because it really still is Shaykh to the Mizbech. Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye V'Amri La Rava L'Rav Yochanan Mokim La Beba Mumi Karo V'Kulei Amasvir Lu Deba Mumi Karo De'lo Hava Bechal Hamad V'Aracha. Okay. What comes out, however, is that according to everybody, according to both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and according to Rabbi Shimon, if an animal was a Beba Mumi Karo, meaning the animal started off with a blemish before it was ever Maktish it to begin with, and then a Maktish it, so there is no requirement of Hamad V'Aracha. The Gemara says V'lo V'Atanan. So the Gemara says, but let's go back to a Mishnah. Mishnah Becharos, everyone knows this Mishnah. We've gone through this Mishnah already a number of times. Kol HaKadoshim, any carbon, Shekana Mum Kavua LaHekdesham. Well, if the Mum Kavua comes first, and then I Makdish it, V'Niftu, and then I redeem it. So let's go step by step. Number one, Chayav Becharah. So it's going to be Chayav Becharah, meaning that when it gives birth to its firstborn, that firstborn is going to be a Bechor. Meaning, essentially, the point is going to be, time and again, the animal is not a carbon. It was never a carbon. The only thing it had was Kedusha's Damim. Once I redeem it, we're back to zero. Meaning, it's not Psule HaMukdashin. Right? So, number one, Chayavim B'Bechorah, it's going to be Chayavim B'Bechorah after I redeem it. Number two, Matanos, that when I do Shecht, that I have to give the Zor L'Chaim the Keva to the Kohen. V'yotzen L'chulin L'gazos V'le'aved. And, once I redeem it, I could shear it, I could work it. Vlad the Mechaban Mutar, the offspring and the milk of it is going to be Mutalach and Pijunam after you pot it. Vashokhan Mechut Potter, if you shecht it outside the base of Mitzvah, you're going to be Potter. Even before you redeem it, you're going to be Potter because, again, it's not a carbon. Ve'enos in tomorrow, and it cannot affect it tomorrow because, again, it's not a carbon. Ve'ime, so you padu, and if it dies, you can redeem it. The Amar of Yuram Rav Zudiv Rabbi Shimon, Dara Merkachim Mizbech, Hayu Bechla Hamadavaracha, Kajarek Berekabais, Lo Hayu. Kidinan Rabbi Shimon Amarkachim Berekabais, Mesa Yipadum. Okay? So, and this Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that normally Kachim Mizbech does require Hamadavaracha, and here in our Mishnah, it says that does not require Hamadavaracha, Umo de Rabbi Shimon Babama Mi Karo Shiniftu. In other words, because this is not a carbon. This is talking about where it had a blemish all to begin with. And because it had a blemish to begin with, it never was a carbon. And even Rabbi Shimon would agree to this case that there is no Hamad of Aracha requirement. My time of Damakra, Osa, Osa Lamute Bamumi Karo. Okay, and why? Because it says Osa. And it's Osa means that this animal requires Hamad of Aracha, the carbon requires Hamad of Aracha, but others, i.e., the animal that's not a carbon, i.e., it had a blemish before you were Maktishit, does not require Hamad of Aracha. Okay, now I can breathe. Okay, that Mishnah in its entirety now, it says that when an animal dies, because it never really was a carbon, so therefore it does not require Hamad of Aracha. And the Gemara says, and who's that Mishnah going like? It's going like Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Who is the Mishnah not going like? So it sounds like it's not going like the Chachamim. Ava Chachamim Amrim Mafil Bamu Mikara Yubachla Hamad of Aracha. So, but the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say, no, even here there's going to be a Hamad of Aracha requirement. Now, which Chachamim are we talking about? Amar Le Man Chachamim, Tana de Be Levi. So here we go. This Chachamim has to be Tana de Beit Levi. So, meaning because we've learned from the very beginning of this whole discussion that even according to the Chachamim who argue with Rabbi Shimon, the Chachamim say that there's no Hamad of Erech requirement, certainly for an animal that's a Ba'amumma Mikaro, and even for an animal that was a carbon that got a blemish afterwards. So this Braisa that says, or actually it's a Mishnah, Becharos, but when the Gemara says, but the Chachamim disagree, can't be the Chachamim we know, so it's got to be Tana de Beit Levi. Tana de Beit Levi always requires a Mada Varacha, even if it's Ba'amumma Mikaro. So which the Gemara says, and by the way, what does Tana de Beit Levi do with the Miur of Osa? So you go back to yesterday, the Gemara asked that very question yesterday, and the Gemara left off with a, I don't know. Okay, just review. So, Ihachi Zudev Rebbe Shimon Vesulo, Zudev Rebbe Shimon Umachlu Kasomi Ba'elei. So then when we are pointing to that Mishnah Becharos, and we say, oh, that Mishnah Becharos is going like Rebbe Shimon, well, why don't you tell us the whole story? That Mishnah Becharos is not just going like Rebbe Shimon, it's going like Rebbe Shimon the Chachamim. So Amalei Haidelo Ketani Hachi Mishum Derav Sevalei Kareish Lakish Da Amar LeRabbanan Kajim Berekabayis Hayu Bechlal Hamad Avaracha Kajim Mizbech Lo Hayu. Well, I'll tell you why you can't say that, because the Rav who explained that Mishnah and Becharos is going like Reish Lakish. Now you remember Reish Lakish says that the Chachamim and Rebbe Shimon are mirror images of one another, meaning that the Chachamim say that there's Amad Avarach Abai, Kache, Bedek Abayis, and not Mizbeach, and Rabbi Shimon say just the opposite. So, it just won't work, meaning because if Rav is holding like Reish Lakish, so look at the entirety of that Mishnah, Vereisha Ketani V'Imesu Yipadu. Because in the Reisha of that Mishnah, it says that if the animal dies, you can redeem it. V'Seifa Ketani V'Imesu Yikbaru. That if it dies, and the Seifa says that if it dies, you have to bury it. So in other words, it won't fit in with Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish says that according to the Chachamim, there's going to be a difference whether it is Kachem Izbech versus Kachem Berek Abayis. So simply put, that Mishnah was only going to be able to go like Rabbi Shimon, not like the Chachamim. Ibayis Eima, or if you want, we could say Rav Karabi Yochanan Svirlei, that really Rav does agree with Rav Yochanan, that according to the Chachamim, there's always a Mad Varach requirement, Udekakashlach Zudev Rabbi Shimon Machlukaso, Mi Bayile Eima Achinami. So, and then when we point to that Mishnah Becharos and we say, who's the author of that Mishnah? And even though it says Rabbi Shimon, it means Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim as well. Okay. Okay. Good. Adkan. meaning, I want you to know, meaning after, it was a long discussion of the Gemara, but nothing changed. Meaning everyone's position stayed the same. It's just a question of how to fit their positions in a Mishnah Becharos and the series of Raisas. But nothing changed. Everyone's position is what it is. Who do we follow? I assume we follow like the Chachamim. And then if I'm betting, which I'm doing right now because I don't know, I didn't look up the Rambam, I'm telling you that we're going to follow like Rav Yochanan's version of the Chachamim, which is that there's always a Hamad of Harach requirement except for a Ba'al Mumi Kara, a blemish animal from before you were Makdashim. Okay, Elohein Hanikvarim. All right, and now last Mishnah of the Masechta, last Sugi of the Masechta, and that's the following. What if an animal dies, or for that matter, anything that you cannot get benefits from? Meaning, this Mishnah over here is really going to be a global Mishnah, which makes sense because really the seventh parak has been more global issues in terms of kachim. What if you have anything, and I really do mean anything, we're going to go through so many different areas of halacha, that you can't get benefit from it anymore. So you have to dispose of it. Okay. And basically this Mishnah over here is going to deal with I'll get to the why in just a moment. How? How do you dispose of it? So there are basically going to be two methodologies. Number one, there's going to be sreifa, you burn it. Number two, there's going to be kfura, there's going to be burial. Okay? The two ways of disposal. And after going through the Mishnah, I'll come back and I'll explain why some bury and some burn. The Mishnah doesn't really give us a why. I'll go through a why after we get through the Mishnah. Eluhein hanikbarim. So the first method of disposal is burial. So what gets buried? So the Mishnah gives us a whole assortment of cases. Number one, kachim shepilu yikbaru. Let's have a carbon that's mapo. It gives it has a still right. It aborts a fetus inside. Okay, so that gets buried. Hepilu shalya tikaber. What if it aborts a placenta? Okay, bury that as well. Sure, niska v'agla rufa v'tzipori mitzara v'steir nazir petar chamor basa b'chala v'chulin shenishchu to bazara. Wow. The list of things that get buried in addition to that are going to be shor haniskal, an animal that gores somebody to death. The animal gets stoned. Okay, what do you do after the animal is stoned? Again, the common denominator with everything mentioned in the Mishnah over here, it's asr bahana. Shor haniskal is asr bahana. So now what do you do? Bury it. Egla rufa. Again, it's asr bahana. That's a gzera shava of sham sham. What do? Bury it. Tzipori mitzora. Tzipori mitzora, those birds that are brought as the first process of tahara for the mitzora. So one of the birds is let free. That bird obviously is fine. The bird, however, that shechted is asr bahana, bury it. Seir nazir, the hair of a nazir. Okay, similar. Hair of the nazir is going to be asr bahana, so therefore bury it. Upeter chamor, right? Firstborn donkey. Now it should be redeemed, huh?
That's when you ask,
right? Right, lo yiftevah arafto, right? And if you don't redeem it, so you hatch it in the back of its neck, and again now it becomes asr bahana, and now what do? You bury it. Basar b'chalav. Okay, did you know? So meat and milk, right? Person makes meat and milk either deliberately or unintentionally. Either way, in other words, but now you have a combination of cooked meat and milk together, so it's asr bahana. That everyone knew. Right, you cannot get benefit from it. What do you do with it? And the answer is Mishnah and Temura. Mishnah and Temura. You got to bury it. You got to bury your basar b'chalav. Chulin shenishchu to bazara, and the Mishnah ends off with any chulin that shechted in the azara. Right, Rabbi Shimon Amar chulin shenishchu to bazara yisrafu v'chein chay shenishchu to bazara. Now Rabbi Shimon disagrees on these points, and Rabbi Shimon says that chulin that was shechted in the azara needs to be burnt, not buried. Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit more. Ve'elo ein nisrafim. And then there's method number two. And method number two is not bury it, but burn it. And what gets burnt? So chametz v'pesach yisarif. So number one, right? Right. If I would have asked, this would have been the number one answer. Right? Chametz on Pesach gets burnt. Although we'll learn later on this morning, that's a machlokus whether you have to burn it or not. It's Rav Yehuda's position that you have to burn it. Our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda. Okay, truma tameya va'arla v'klai kerem. So, and also truma that becomes tame needs to be burnt. Now, truma that becomes tame, kind of funny, really doesn't fit so well in this Mishnah. Why not? Because truma tameya is not asr bahana, right? Okay, hold that thought, because we'll come back to that a little bit later on. Arla, okay, arla is asr bahana, klai hakerem is asr bahana. Now, eshadakam lisrof yisrof, eshadakam likaver yikaver. Now, in the world of arla and klai hakerem, you know you can't burn everything. Right? Right? Simple example. Let's say you have grapes or any liquid for that matter, that needs to be destroyed, disposed of, because it's asr bahana. You're not going to burn it. I mean, I guess, what, are you going to boil it? In other words, it doesn't burn. So something like that needs to be buried, that you're not going to be burned. But if it's a food that's flammable, so then you're going to burn it. Umalikin bepas v'shemen shel truma. Now, if it's bread or oil of truma, so that you're allowed to burn, and not only allowed to burn, but you can even get benefit from that as well. Kol ha-kadashim shenishchetu chutzes man v'chutzem kamam. Any carbon that was shechted, either chutzes man or chutzem makom, right, pigle, the Hare Elu Yisrafu, so they should be burnt. Okay, now let's take a pause now in the Mishnah, even though we're in the middle of the Mishnah, right before we turn the page. Okay, good. You got the basic idea of the Mishnah. Things that need to be burnt are burnt, things that need to be buried are buried, but why? In other words, well, what's the difference between the first list of things in the Mishnah and the second list of things in the Mishnah? And basically, everything is asr bahana. You're not allowed to get benefit from anything in the Mishnah, except for the Truma Tameya, which admittedly is a little bit strange, but you're not allowed to get benefits, so why are certain things disposed of and why are certain things burnt? Okay? So take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos over here provides the following explanation. It is the last Tosfos on the Amud on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, and Tosfos writes Sarachian, right? Hanisra Afrim, Afram Mutav and Nikbarim Afram Aser. Now, this is going on a later point in the Mishnah, and this really will put everything together. The Mishnah later on will teach us that if I burn something, the afer of that which I burn is going to be mutter. And if I bury something, the afer of that which I bury is going to be aser. Sarachiyun, time am I. So, Tosfos says, why should that be? The Omer Mori, I don't know who he's quoting over here, Resh Mem Resh, one of the Balei HaTosfos, Dinesrafim Kevan Shitsiva Kosel Lesorfan, Acher She'asa Ki'ilu Nasas Mitzvaso. Ve'en Lecha Davar She'nasas Mitzvaso, O Mo'alem Bo. Ha'achinami Kevan She'nasas Mitzvaso, Halach Asurim. And Tosfos over here gives a beautiful explanation for the entire Mishnah. Really, the entire Mishnah. The list of things that need to be burnt in the Mishnah are because the Torah says you have to burn them. Okay. And now, for that reason and that reason alone, we burn them, and once we burn them, we have fulfilled the mitzvah in the Torah. Meaning, now they're burnt, al pi haTorah. The Torah told me to burn it. Good. Once I do the mitzvah in the Torah, the story's over. Meaning now, can I go and collect the ashes? Sure. Because I did exactly what the Torah told me to do. And so therefore, the ashes would be mutter. Right? Kevin shenaseh mitzvaso, so the Issur goes away. But the things in our Mishnah that are meant to be buried, like Basar V'Chalav, let's use Basar V'Chalav as our example. Okay. Now, the truth of the matter is, can I burn it? I mean, I know the Mishnah is about to say no. Okay? But before we get to the Mishnah, can I burn it? In other words, why not? I'm disposing of it. So instead of disposal through burial, I'll dispose it through burning it. Here's the problem, essentially, says Tosfos. Is that, right, when it comes to Basar V'Chalav, there's no mitzvah to burn it. The mitzvah is just simply, it's Asar B'Hanah, dispose of it. But when I burn it, I haven't fulfilled the mitzvah in terms of burning it yet. The mitzvah is to get rid of it. So when I have the ashes are still ashes of Basar B'Chalav.
You burn something goes up.
Well, there's still going to be ashes. There's still going to be some residue. Right, but it's no, but that first of all, that's Chametz B'Pesach, and Chametz B'Pesach, you have to fill the mitzvah by burning it. But I'm using Basar V'Chalav as an example. There's no mitzvah to burn it. The mitzvah is just simply to get rid of it. But if I burnt it, so what's going to end up happening is I'm still going to have the ashes of Basar V'Chalav. I didn't fulfill a mitzvah. I still have this requirement to dispose of it. And so Tosfos says, and that's what's behind our Mishnah. So Hachinami Kevin Shanasas Mitzvah So Halach Yisrim VaHadam Asher Asur LaOlam Af HaPishe Hizkei Kakasov LaSorfa. Now, Tosfos notes, based on my explanation, there is something which is a little bit strange, and that's the Asherah tree. Now, the Asherah tree, the Torah says to burn it. Right? V'ashareim tisrifun be'ish. Right? The Torah says, burn your Asherah tree. And yet, it is true, says Tosfos, that the ashes are still going to be forbidden. And that doesn't fit into everything I'm saying, says Tosfos. Now, that's a point, and that's definitely a point to consider, but Tosfos suggests maybe that's Asherah, it's Avodah Zarah, it's different. Right? Hainam yishim dechsiv lo yidbak b'yadcham u'ma menacherem aval anikbarim delo hitin akasav l'sofam mashach isurayhu la'olam. But those things where the Torah doesn't instruct us to burn, so that means that their issur is going to continue even after I burn it. Okay, that's Tosfos' suggestion in terms of why there are two categories in the Mishnah and why certain things are burnt and certain things are buried. Okay.
And you won't use the ashes.
I'm sorry. No. Yeah. You can't use the ashes. I mean, the ashes are still going to be asur b'hanah.
Which ones?
The ones that are supposed to be buried.
Right. The chametz.
Right. So that's
the
chametz. So you did the mitzvah. The mitzvah now has been accomplished. Meaning is once the Torah gives us the mitzvah of burning,
yeah.
burning equals disposal. That means that I've done it now. The ashes will no longer.
I can use it as fuel in my oven.
Correct. Or whatever you want to use the ashes for, you can after.
I burn it.
Correct. Now, Asham Talui Yisareif. Okay, now we're back to the Mishnah. We're finishing up the Mishnah over here. Asham Talui. What if I have an Asham where I don't know if I violate an Isser, I don't know if I didn't violate an Isser, right? Krisos, we're going to be discussing this at length. So, Yisareif, so you... And it turns out, sorry, let me just finish the story, and it turns out I didn't need it, right? Rashi gives the whole drama over here. Take a look at the top. Rashi, Imshach v'kadam zrikam, zrika zama nodolo shalochata, he brought Hashem Toli because maybe violated Isser, and then right after he shechted the animal, turns out, didn't do the Isser. Great. But now I don't need the Hashem Toli anymore. So again, you start, so there you burn it. Rav Yehuda amar yikavir, Rav Yehuda says it's to be buried, okay? Talk more about that machlokas later on. Rav Yehuda Omer, Chatas ha'ov, habal ha'safik. Let's say I have a chatas bird that comes through a safik. Rashi again gives us a little bit of background. A woman had a stillbirth, and we don't know if the vlad is a vlad or not a vlad. And so she's bringing a carbon chatas as her lettuce carbon, not knowing for sure whether or not she needs to braid it or not. And then it turns out that she didn't need it, or even if she brought it, but Kohanim can't eat it, so Tisarif. So again, Machlokas over here in terms of what happens, the Tanakhama says burn it, and Rav Yehuda Amar Yilan La'aman, Rav Yehuda says no, put it in the canal. There's a thin little canal that runs through the Azara, and Rav Yehuda says you can put it into the canal. Again, later on, the Gemara is going to talk about this more in depth. And here's the Mishnah that says, that's it. You got to know the Mishnah well. You got to know there's two methods of disposal for Yisuri Hana'a, and you can't cross. Something that needs to be burnt is burnt, and something that needs to be buried is buried, and the buried can't be burnt, and the burnt can't be buried. Right, try to say that again fast. Rav Yehuda Omer Imratzal Achmel Latzmo Lisrofes and Ikbar Mashai. So Rav Yehuda makes the suggestion that if a person wants to be Machmer and bury the and burn the bury, so you could do that. Amar Lo, Eino Mutar Lishanos, and the Chachamim said Rav Yehuda. No chance for shinui. Okay, and again, now take a look at Rashi. I mean, after we go through Tosfos, now you understand Rashi. That last Rashi, second to last Rashi in the Mishnah, the Nisrafim cannot be buried. Dilma Asi Inish v'Ashkach Luhu v'Achaluhu. Because what's going to end up happening is that if you bury something that you should be burnt, someone's going to find and someone's going to eat it. And the Torah says that it needs to be burnt. Okay. Seir anazir yikaber. So we start with the Gemara. Hair of the nazir needs to be buried. That's what our Mishnah taught us. So Ramilei Tevi le Rav Nachman Tanan Seir anazir yikaber v'reminua oreg maleas sit mitzemer b'chor bebeged yidalek. I'm sorry, yidalek habeged. Meseir hanazir upetr chamor b'sak yidalek hasak. So the Gemara introduces us to a Mishnah in Arla. And the Mishnah Arla talks about the following. What if I weave into a garment a little bit of semer b'chor, right? Hair from a firstborn. The b'chor is kachim, it's a karbon, which means that its hair is also bahana. And I weave a little bit of the hair of b'chor into a garment. Or semer, seir nazir. The hair of a nazir I weave into a garment. So the Mishnah says in both of these cases, yidalek, burn it. So yidalek hasak. So in both cases, it should be burnt. Now, there's a simple question which the Gemara later on will ask, which is why not say bitul b'rov, right? For one little thread of carbon hair or seir nazir hair, so you're gonna have to destroy the whole garment. So that's a question of bitul b'rov, but we're not even up to that question yet. The question we are, however, up to is. A question, in other words, our Mishnah tomorrow gives us very clear instruction, and our Mishnah says that Seir Nazir is one of the things that's buried, together with Kachim, which is one of the things that's buried. And meanwhile, this Mishnah in Arla says it gets burnt. Amalei Kam B'Nazir Tamei, and Kan B'Nazir Tahor. Okay, so the Mishnah is talking about, so two Mishnah is talking about two different types of Naziris. Nazir Tamei is Asur Bahana. Nazir who's Tamei, meaning he came into contact with Tuma, so his hair is Asur Bahana. Nazir Tahor, his hair is not Asur Bahana, but what does the Torah instruct us to do with his hair? put it under the pot and use it to cook, right, and burn it. Okay. So Amar Lei Shanita Nazir Nazir. Great answer. Right? Really perfect answer. But that only answers half the question. Right? The stira is both between the hair of the Nazir and the hair of Karban. So Petra Chamor Kashya, Ishtik, Velo Amar Lei Velo Midi. Okay, that's the problem, because our Mishnah says that you have Petra Chamor that needs to be buried, and the Mishnah Arla says it needs to be burnt. Amalei midishmielach ba'ach, amalei hach amar avsheshes, kan besak, kan besayar. So he says, well, maybe we can offer the following explanation. When the Mishnah says burn it, it's talking about sak. Right? Rashi, kan besak, hadiktan yedalek, hanusha arek seir nazir, upetachamor besak, diyamar yikaber, asi inishu metani bahol, ve'eno kala adla achar zman. Meaning, if it's already woven into the sackcloth, and what are you going to do? You're going to bury it? So if someone's going to find it, someone's going to get benefit from it. And in other words, sack decomposes very slowly.
Burn it.
However, kan besayer, but if you have the hair itself, so that you could just bury it by itself. Itmar nami, amar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, kan besak, kan besayer. Rabbi Elazar, amar kan benazir tor, kan benazir tame. Okay. The Gemara gives other versions in terms of basically identifying the same answers. Good. Amar leili batal sak beruba. Okay, now the Gemara asks a very simple question. What about bitl beruv? Okay, meaning, so now I have one strand of hair, either it comes from a nazir, nazir tamar, nazir tara, really doesn't matter. Or, I have one strand of hair that comes from a bechor, the animal is a bechor. Or, I have one strand of hair that comes from the betel chamor. Look, in all those cases, the hair is asur. Okay, the hair that comes off is asur. But one strand of hair that gets woven into a fabric, so the whole thing should be destroyed, right? Don't we have a concept of bitl?
And also about no, like bitl works, but also about no.
Yeah, bitl for sure works for works for Isurei Hana as well.
Yeah.
Chametz were more machmir.
Basa b'chalav is fine.
Yeah, but basa b'chalav, there's bitl by basa b'chalav, right? So
each one is.
Well, no, but even after you create the Basa B'chalaf, even after you create the Basa B'chalaf, there'll still be Bittel. So Amar Papa B'tzi Parta. So the Gemara's first answer is that one hair that you used, you actually made an embroidery, a design using that one hair. The Gemara gives an example of the design of a bird. Okay, so B'tzi Parta Lishlufinu. So the Gemara says, well, if you took that one hair and you made a little embroidered design, so you know exactly now where the Isser is, so take it out. I'm Rav Yirmiya Hamani, Rav Yehudi Yidamar, Imratzal Achmel, Atzmoli, Strofet, Anikbarim, Rashai. So he gives an answer, well, maybe we're going like Rav Yehuda over here, and Rav Yehuda says that if you want to burn something, you can. Now, right, if you're trying to follow, you realize that doesn't respond to the question at all. Meaning, I'm asking about Bittel Berov, and you're saying, oh, maybe going like Rabbi Huda, you have an option to burn it. Like, what does that have to do with our question and answer? So I'm like, Kakash Yalan Lishlofin, Avat Mupman like Rabbi Huda. I'm suggesting just cut out the little bird embroidery. And you're saying, oh, we're going like Rabbi Huda. Like, I don't know, there's no, what's the flow over here? Hachi Kamina, Mefshir Lishlofin, Omuta, Vim La, Vukman, Rabbi Huda, Damar, and Ratzalach, Malatzmer, Lisrof, Sinek, Bar, Mashai. All right, I meant like this. If you can take out the little embroidered bird, that would be fine. Otherwise, if you want to be machmer like Rabbi Yehuda, that's also fine as well. I'm also okay with that as well. Okay, let's do a couple more lines of Gemara, and then we'll stop and leave the rest for a sim. Elu hein hanisrafim amar mar chametz bepesach yisarif stas sasam lantana Rabbi Yehuda damer ein bir chametz ela sreifa. Okay, good. A little inyana diyuma as we're approaching Pesach. So we know that you have to destroy your chametz before Pesach. How do you destroy your chametz before Pesach? So we burn it, but well, yes or no? Meaning we burn just a little bit. It's more like a ceremonial burning. There is a machlokis tanaim in terms of how to dispose of your chametz. Rav Yehuda says you have to burn it. So we burn a little bit of it, kind of like almost like a shout out to Rav Yehuda. Like, you know, like we know you're out there. But lamaisa lahalacha though, we don't fall like Rav Yehuda. We fall like the chachamim, which is that you dispose it any which way you want to dispose it of. But our Mishnah that requires you to burn it, our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda. Okay, stop.
Wait, wait, but we're destroying it before Pesach. Does that mean Pesach on
it's another discussion in of itself. When the Torah says Tashbitu, that you have to destroy it,
right.
Is that talking about before Chatzos or after Chatzos? Right. That's a machlokas amongst the Rishonim.
Oh, right.
My good friend spoke about that. Whatever. Okay, he spoke about that. Okay, Truma Tamea, let's just do one more line. Truma Tamea, the Arla, Haketzer, Ochlin, Besrefa, Mashkin, Bekvura, what I said in the Mishnah, the Gemara over here explains, is that if it's a food, you burn it, but if it's a liquid, you can't burn a liquid, so that gets buried. Okay, stop over here. We leave ourselves off with a little bit more Gemara, that's a oaf. For me, whatever, we'll make plans. Eventually. Rabbi Hanani ben Akash, my Rabbi Zakash Baruch, Zakash Sofi, Chacher ben Tor Mitzvah, Shanemar, Nechafetz, Mansiko, Yagil to Rabbi Adir.